Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Tuesday, October 11th. Today, we're talking to Sun Environmental reporter Michael Booth about another municipality getting ready to pass restrictions on landscaping because of the lack of water in Colorado. Before we begin, a quick message. Join the Colorado Sun for an in-person U.S. Senate candidate forum focusing on mental health. Senator Michael Bennett and candidate Joe O'Day will answer questions on October 18th at 10 a.m. Registration is free, but space is limited. Visit coloradosun.com/events for more information. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. Arthur Peel, a geologist employed by Ferdinand V. Hayden's Epic Western Surveys, gathered specimens of ancient plant fossils from a prehistoric lake bed in present-day Teller County on this day in 1873. His modest collection and descriptions of several dozen petrified tree stumps offered the first evidence of the treasures known as the Florissant fossil beds. Described as a prehistoric Pompeii, Florissant owes its existence to a volcano that erupted about 34 million years ago. Ash from an eruption buried a lush landscape, preserving it for scholars and treasure seekers alike. Within 40 years of Peel's visit, scientists gathered more than 30,000 insect fossils of more than 1,000 species, as well as thousands of fish, birds, small mammals, and so many fossilized plants that the Smithsonian Institution could not count them all in their collections. The wonders brought looters as well. The Colorado Midland Railway sponsored fossil collecting excursions, and even Walt Disney came to Florissant in 1956 to buy a redwood stump as an anniversary present for his wife. By the 1960s, development threatened to obliterate much of the site. Landowners who owned the fossil area supported protection of Florissant, but others coveted the beautiful region for mountain homes. Scientists and environmental activists joined with Florissant residents to lobby the federal government and gave tours of the area to members of the U.S. Congress. President Richard Nixon signed a bill establishing Florissant Fossil Beds National Monument in 1969. The site remains a biological marvel and high country oasis for visitors of all kinds. Before we continue, the Colorado Sun and CBS News Colorado will host a gubernatorial debate on October 13th at 6 p.m. with Governor Jared Polis and candidate Heidi Ganahl. The debate will air and be available to stream. Visit coloradosun.com/events for more information. Now our feature story.
Welcome back to the Daily Sun Up Podcast, Colorado. I'm Carol Wood, guiding you through today's conversation, and I'm grateful to be here with you today. Today we're visiting with Michael Booth, the Sun's environmental reporter. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Carol. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. I was hoping today that we could talk a little bit about how you are taking a look at another metro area municipality that is weighing landscaping restrictions in light of the lack of water that we have in Colorado now.
A lot of cities seem to be taking it seriously, both the overall climate picture and the overall drought in the Colorado River Basin that we're having, and then also looking at their specific resources. Cities have a lot of different positions they're in terms of how safe they are on their water supply. Douglas County and Castle Rock have a fairly tenuous position in some ways. They have a huge amount of growth scheduled with thousands and thousands of homes platted out that are not built yet but are going to need water. And they have some river water resources from the mountains that they get on their own and through other cities, but also they draw from an aquifer that doesn't get replenished. And so they're limited on how much they can do from that. So they need to really look carefully at the future of their municipal water supply. Now, we've talked before about how agriculture takes up to 80% of the water that's available in Colorado. And so that's where you need to go for your biggest savings. But municipalities do take about 8%. And of that 8%, about half of it goes to landscaping, the way that we built up ourselves with our big grass lawns. And so cities like Castle Rock are now taking a look at that. Aurora already did. We can talk more about that. But Castle Rock is about to pass on second reading a bill that will limit new homes, new construction homes, to no more than 500 square feet of grass in the backyard and nothing in the front yard, no grass. They are trying to coin a new phrase to make it attractive to people called not xeriscaping, but Coloradoscaping, a mix of native grasses, native plants that take a lot less water, that don't look like turf, but also don't look like a desert or don't look like a rock moonscape.
I like that new term. That's it's appropriate. You mentioned that certain municipalities, you know, have more access to water than others, and Castle Rock is certainly in a position to have less, it sounds like. What do some of the developers and potential homeowners say, and is any of this retroactive?
I think the cities are happy that they're not doing it alone. Aurora already did it. And so Aurora has a lot of similar land on its edges where there are a lot of new homes being developed, new neighborhoods with different developers in control of large sections who are building local parks and sort of influencing things like Painted Prairie, which has this kind of limited water landscaping out in front of each home and even in their parks. And so if you were worried that a developer might say, nobody's going to buy this house the way that you're making me design it, so I'm just going to go build in Aurora, or I'm just going to go build somewhere else, it helps from that perspective when you're trying to save water if a lot of cities go at the same time and say, look, we're all in this together. We all have got to do more. So turf is just, you know, these long golf course style front lawns for people are just not going to be part of Colorado's future. And we're all going to say that at the same time.
Yeah. And it really doesn't make sense anymore going forward. How does this, you mentioned, you know, golf course type lawns, how does this affect actual golf courses, whether private or municipal?
Castle Rock, home to a lot of people's favorite golf courses, some gorgeous places, is not so far banning new golf course development. Aurora has. They're grandfathered in one place that had already been approved, but they are saying we don't need new golf courses and can't really afford them from a water perspective. Castle Rock is not saying that yet, but they are putting these restrictions on private homes. So you'd asked how developers and homeowners are reacting. The developers are fighting it a little bit, or at least asking for some new concessions. I don't think they've got everything they want yet, but what the city is saying is if you take over, if you as a developer do the landscaping in addition to building the home, do the landscaping in the front and the backyard and control it and use certified landscapers, certified landscape styles that we know are water wise, we will give you up to $16,000 off your tap fee. Tap fees are huge these days. Tap fees in Castle Rock have been $40,000 in the past and are scheduled to go up even more from there this year. So getting $16,000 off of each of that, if you're the home developer, obviously can make a difference. It can allow you to provide a discount. You can use that money for better landscaping. You can go to the homeowner and say, yes, you're not getting the long grass lawn you always dreamed of, but on the other hand, we're going to give you this or give you that. So that is a big perk.
Yeah, that tap fee compensation, I would think, would be attractive for a lot of developers. So water, I'm guessing, also is becoming more and more expensive for municipalities to purchase, which also probably plays into the fees that homeowners pay for their monthly water bill. Will this make a difference or potentially, you know, lower homeowners' water bills?
They are trying to have this not affect the rates of current homeowners and try not to. Well, here's one another way to look at it. If they can limit the amount of demand from new growth, right now the Castle Rock has a big peak problem in the summer. They have to build their whole system in water to accommodate, you know, that one really hot week in late July where everybody's blasting out water as much as they can. It's very expensive to build your system for the absolute worst demand days. So what they're saying to people is if we can cut 10, 15, 20% off of demand, we won't have to build such an enormous fireproof, waterproof structure over the years. And we won't have to raise your rates as much because we won't have to overbuild our system for those peak days. So they are trying to tell people that there's something in it for everybody.
Thanks for that explanation. And I also remember in previous conversations, you mentioning that some of these Colorado municipalities have looked to Las Vegas for the precedent that Las Vegas has set. Can you refresh us on that?
Sure. Las Vegas has a stronger turf buyout program where people with existing lawns, existing homeowners, can get thousands of dollars from the Las Vegas Water Authority to replace their turf with much more water-wise landscaping. And the difference, I guess, that people have cited to me saying, well, you can't just demand that we all be like Las Vegas, because when you pull out grass in Las Vegas, you get a lot more savings in terms of water. Las Vegas is high overnight temperatures. Some people water there twice a day in the summertime. So you can really get a huge amount of savings. And you can get savings in the Denver metro area and up and down the Front Range when you pull out turf. But the savings are not going to be as dramatic in terms of water. So there may be a growth in turf buyback programs, and the state is now funding some turf buyback. But people are encouraging us to think there's got to be more than one way to do it. You can't just get it all by buying back existing turf.
Are there other municipalities that you are hearing about that either have moratoriums or may follow suit on actual outright bans or landscaping restrictions, I should say?
Well, I could say we don't know yet, but I could also say stay tuned and we'll be doing more reporting and looking around for more places that are taking the lead of Castle Rock and Aurora. And so we're going to be reporting about some of this in the Temperature, Environment, and Climate and Health newsletter that we do on Wednesdays. Encourage everybody to sign up for that. But we'll probably be extending this into a longer story on the website itself at coloradosun.com. And just encourage people to keep an eye out for that because we'll try to keep adding to it as we hear from more and more cities.
Well, thanks, Mike. And we will visit the topic again here as it evolves. So thank you for coming by to visit with us today about this. And for any of our listeners who have questions about this topic or the podcast in general, drop us an email at podcast@coloradosun.com. And thanks to Mike and to everybody who helped produce today's podcast, including our production partners, Pirate Audio. And have a wonderful day out there. And I sincerely hope that you can join us for the next Daily Sun Up.
Read more on this story at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. The founders of the new mountain town social club, Gravity House, are expanding this ski season, opening locations in Aspen and Steamboat. The $200 a month club will have 5 locations around Colorado and 1 in California, and hopes to get visitors and locals to hang out together. The membership gives discounts on hotel rooms and dining and access to gear, and the locations also include working space and fancy fitness facilities. Since launching 3 years ago in Breckenridge, Gravity House has grown to 4,000 members and 300 employees. 3 ballot initiatives before Colorado voters on November 8th are about amending the state's alcohol laws. Proposition 124 would allow liquor store owners to have more than 3 Colorado locations, which is the current limit. Proposition 125 would allow grocers and convenience stores licensed for beer sales to also sell wine, sake, cider, and other vinous liquors. And Proposition 126 would let restaurants continue to sell booze to go and allow for third parties to deliver alcohol. Currently, restaurants and stores must use their employees for deliveries. For everything you need to know about the ballot, check out our new 2022 voter guide at coloradosun.com. A political action committee aligned with Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says it is injecting $1.25 million into Colorado's U.S. Senate race to support challenger Joe O'Day. The investment represents National Republicans' first major effort to help the first-time GOP candidate unseat Democratic incumbent Michael Bennett. National Democratic groups like the Senate Majority Fund, which is aligned with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, haven't directly spent money in Colorado. But other political action committees have spent on Bennett's behalf. The Real Clear Politics polling average in the contest has Bennett with an 8.3 percentage point advantage. For more information on all these stories, visit our website, www.coloradosun.com. And don't forget to tune in again tomorrow. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month, and if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our politics newsletter, The Unaffiliated, as well as our outdoors newsletter, The Outsider, and our new health and environment newsletter, The Temperature. All 3 exclusive newsletters delivered to your inbox every week.